Anyway, welcome to the program, Chris Ritchie. That was the voice of Chris Ritchie. And I'm always describing certain singers as belters, people that can just belt it. And I wanted to provide an example of somebody that's just belting it. And I watched all three of your show reels this morning trying to decide which one I wanted to hear you belt. And that one won. And Dottie, please introduce the rest of this esteemed whatever it is.
Hi, Chris. Good to have you with us on the big podcast. Daddy. We have BJ Odom, who is our radio veteran. He's been in the industry 40 plus years. John Farentino, legendary comedy magician, was on the road with Crosby, Stills, and Nash for over 10 years. A lot of television with John, and you know
Tom. And then me. I just the guy that operates the buttons and pushes things around. And we welcome. Where are you in England, Chris?
I'm just outside of Manchester.
Okay, all right.
That's where Ralph's from.
Yeah, John's future son-in-law is Ralph Little from used to be on the Royal Family, and now he's on Death in Paradise.
Oh, right. Goodness me. Yeah.
John's daughter is a very successful playwright. Wrote a play called Ugly Lies the Bone, which was performed in London, and Ralph was in the cast of that.
Fantastic.
One thing.
Yeah, it was at the National.
Yeah, with the National.
And National Theater.
Yeah. We laugh about it because John's daughter has written, I don't know, how many plays now, John?
I don't even know. 30. A lot.
And John and I have the same act for 27 years. In all fairness, John does update it every quarter. Anyway.
Every millennial.
What did I just see? Manchester's dealing with it, right? With a surge?
Yeah, well, because we're going into kind of district lockdowns now. It isn't a national kind of lockdown that we're experiencing at the moment. Different parts of the country are put into a tier system depending on the surge of coronavirus outbreaks and cases. Manchester at the moment is kind of hanging around the tier two, tier three. Our local mayor is trying to get more support from central government. Unfortunately, he hasn't been successful yet, but we're a tenacious breed here in England, you know, and we'll all stand our ground and fight for what we think is correct for our area.
Does that mean the pubs are closed?
Oh, Tom, yes, pubs are closed, man. That's, yeah, everything else is fine, but the pubs are closed. This is bad news. Yeah.
I'd explain. Chris and I and Dottie, we met together. Chris was on Oceania. Now it seems that he's on Regent more than he's Oceania. And I watched him perform, and it's the style that I love. Like my friend Paul Edison and Jamie Michael Stewart, big cabaret performers, Mark Preston, big singers.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't know anything about the acting and the directing part of it. As I was looking for a picture of you to put up on the Facebook,
all right,
I didn't realize that also was something that have been involved in your whole career. How did that come about?
Well, my entry into show business wasn't ever planned at all. It just happened. There was a big star appeared in the sky, and I was born, and everyone's been watching me ever since, especially around about Christmas.
Well, it's funny because I was about to say, I'm still waiting for my entry in the show business. So I'm glad you were able to get there. So.
No, I grew up in a family which was surrounded with music and entertainment in general. By default, I sort of crept into it. And but as time went on, it became a hobby. Yeah, it kind of took over my life eventually. And I went off and studied. I went to university at Newcastle and studied drama to move on into kind of directing. My acting had pretty much been at that point amateur, semi-professional. But then I crept into, I did a few kind of appearances in national soap operas and things, and then it kind of took off from there. Little bit parts in theater and little bit parts in TV. Not that anybody would remember these bit parts in television,
yeah.
But it's nice to put on your resume. and yeah, people can read it and hopefully be impressed like you were, Tom.
I was, and I looked at it, you know. I have very little television exposure. It's a Jeffrey Toobin joke there. But John, truthfully, he gets embarrassed when I say this. Not really. Over 80, I think, television appearances.
When comedy was
at its peak, and Comic Magic, it was, you know, call John or call the Amazing Jonathan. No, never thought to call me. They didn't have my number at all. So it's, I think anybody that gets on any.
But it's like, you know, like he says, I was in the right place at the right time. You know,
yeah.
I had all these stand-up shows and they wanted an act that was funny that didn't do stand-up. You know?
Yeah. So John also at one time was married to an English girl. From where, John?
Buckinghamshire.
Yeah. Oh, Buckinghamshire. Yeah, that's the really kind of class end of England, you know. He went for the right area. He really did.
He always got it so posh.
Yes. Oh, yes.
He just kind of fell into his arms, I think.
It's the only reason I always bring it up when we have a guest down from England, because the reaction is always to say, whoa, I see you.
Yes. Oh, well. Yeah.
That constipated kind of look. Oh. So I gather it's a very nice area.
It's really nice.
But it is.
It's hard to be married when in two different countries. Getting into that.
I only ever pass through Buckinghamshire. I can't afford to stay for too long.
Yeah.
I just drive through and it's fine. And that's as much as I can afford. I don't look at too much, you know.
I have an off the wall question. John has to help me. Larry Larkin's car. What was that car he drove?
Oh,
the three wheel car.
It was a three wheel car with a door opened in the front.
Oh, the Reliant Robin kind of thing.
I can't think of it. I just wanted, you never had one, did you?
Me? No, goodness me. That's long before my time.
It was. Larry doesn't look that old, but you're right. It's
What was it called? Now I got to look it up.
I didn't start driving until 25 years ago. So, you know, we had four wheels on cars in England by then. It's great.
Larry's like a toaster on three tires is what it was.
It was the smallest little car you've ever seen in your life.
And he's really? A big guy.
I think I know what you mean. Did the whole front of the vehicle kind of open?
Yes.
Yeah. And the single wheel was there at the back?
In the back.
And
they flip over all the time.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. 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 So very popular.
We always ask this question every time an entertainer comes on, or Jennifer came on, same question. Were you on a ship? Dottie and I were on Serena when we were told the end, go home and, you know, do something. Were you at sea or were you lucky to be home?
No, I was, the news was just breaking. And I was on a cruise, I was on an Oceania, and forgive me because I can't remember which one, but I was sort of in and around the Mauritius.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, you know, it's not looking too good. So luckily we flew home about a week before everything really did start to fall apart. So thankfully, yes, I was home, and it was a relief, really.
Well, John's future son-in-law, we're pretty sure still, he had an offer to go to South Africa and drive a car in some reality show. And John's daughter at the time said, please don't do that, because you're not going to be able to get back in the United States. And he goes, oh, it'll be fine.
So he went to South Africa. The day he got there, they went on safari, and at 6 o'clock at night, they said the show is canceled.
Go back home.
And then he couldn't get back.
Yeah.
Oh, how long was he stuck out there for?
Well, he could get back, but only to England. Charter a plane. He couldn't get back to New York because they cut off flights into New York.
Which is still the case. God. He's in Guadeloupe right now. Is he still in Guadeloupe doing the show?
He's in Guadeloupe, yeah. He'll be in Guadeloupe till December.
So what have you been doing? What are you doing? You got home, you're home, and can't even do, like us, you can't do any land work or anything. You're singing.
Well, strangely enough, I am.
You are?
We're back in June. A company who I've worked for previously got in touch. The owner got in touch with me. He has a string of hotels in a resort in England called Blackpool.
Yeah, sure.
Have you heard of it, with the famous tower?
Yeah.
And this chain of hotels was reopening after the initial lockdown in England. And he needed someone to help him get it up and running again with the entertainment. So he brought me in as a kind of an entertainment coordinator and consultant, so to speak. And I helped him get the hotels back on their feet. And that's where I've been doing ever since.
Well, see, that's good.
And I'm gigging kind of four nights a week in the hotels themselves. So I've been a busy boy. In fact, I've never worked as hard. I need the ships to come back. You know, I miss an afternoon tea and a little sleep straight after. This is a killer.
Everybody that listens or watches knows this story too many times. But, you know, I got home and BJ's son, Gentry, is in internet radio, and he's very successful with three internet radio stations. And his partner is Shaquille O'Neal, the basketball player. And we're talking about it, and BJ's telling me about it. And I go, well, hell, I think I'll just do a little internet radio show from one of my bedrooms. And I get a computer and a laptop, and I screw that up. And I got it up and running, and John came on as a guest 2 weeks into it, and then decided to stick around, and eventually it built to be what it is. We're having a lot of fun doing it. When we went on social media, everybody around the world now knows about the show. Yesterday from Serbia, today from England, Thursday from Croatia. So that's pretty cool. But we don't have sponsors because it's hard to sell sponsors on a show that attracts an audience around the world. I don't know what you try to sell them. So we're basically, it's a labor of love. And you're right. Some days it's a true labor. I want to two shows every 10 days and then and go see the English singer and get loaded. That was pretty much the game plan. I have a different appreciation of the jobs we have. John for years was on ships on 2 weeks on and 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. He's kind of content kind of now. Home. He likes home. He finds that, and I kind of like it, but then again, you know, we've had some chefs on from the cooking center. Say it.
The culinary arts center.
The culinary arts center.
And they start talking about Italy and getting vegetables and cooking the food. And then I start to think about Italy and the wine and the pasta. And I'm starting to thinking, okay, maybe I could do it again. We'll see.
But
first we got to get rid of this virus. And nobody called me. I've been waiting for somebody to call me my opinion, but nobody's bothering me with it.
Well, tell us what it is. Tell us what it is now. We've got time.
So are you gigging with Trax? Are you a trio in the hotels or?
I'm gigging with Trax. I did have a run of Neil Diamond shows booked with a national chain. And that was with a band. That was with a six piece. But unfortunately their restrictions wouldn't allow us to bring the band in. So we had to cancel that run of dates, which is quite upsetting because my wife, and I think I've told you this before, my wife is my MD. So I get, you know, with these shows, I get to work with my wife. It's great.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but currently she's now working down in Hereford, which is in the south part of England. And I'm up in Manchester in the north. So as much as we're both working, unfortunately, as with cruising, we're still apart. So,
but you are like an extinct, like what do you have to save it? People that are working in show business, it's kind of unheard of.
Oddity
would be the word.
Yeah, I have a few friends who I cruise acts who I actually brought into the hotels with me to let people see what cruise acts are about. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people who visit seaside resorts who don't experience what a cruise act is. They have this impression, which Simon Cowell has created, of what a cruise cabaret is. And I've brought two great friends of mine, Jane Curry and Dean Stansby. And Jane is a two to four. She's a great singer, great comedian. And Dean's a piano vocalist, but so smooth, so great at his craft. And they've blown the resort away by the standard of what these people are. You know, people don't realize just what standard you have to be to succeed in our industry, to succeed in the cruise industry.
Yeah.
And everyone sat at home waiting for it to start again.
Yeah. And, you know, and you're absolutely right. And one of the reasons that, you know, this show is on bestatsearadio.com. I have, first thing I did when I launched the radio station is go into the cabinet and get every CD out that Dottie has been given. That I don't believe we have yours. I would, if you have any songs, you can send me on a WeTransfer or Google. And that's what I play on the radio station a lot. And pre-show, things like that. Unfortunately, when we went social media, yeah. I can't play music, so I don't now. But when I first started it, I played music from the cruise industry and different singers and people are like, wow, pretty amazing. Cause they have this perception that we suck.
I wonder where that came from. You know, there was always that like, oh, Cruise Ship Act, you know, it's like,
yeah,
the Cruise Ship Acts are amazing.
Cause it's hard. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause ships are hard. They're not easy.
You can work a cruise ship, you can work anywhere.
Yeah.
Do you know, as the entertainment industry in the UK kind of started to shrink and there wasn't the venues anymore, musical theatre was taking a rebirth and filling these theatres. So there wasn't the performance platforms for entertainers in England. They were sort of forced, you know, to move and think, well, I have to move into the cruise industry or I'm going to have to retrain and do something else. Yeah. You know,
so, like a real job.
May we never be blessed, any of us, please.
I did that before ships. I don't want to do it again.
Yeah. Like, no, and you're right. The same happened in comedy. When I started as a comedian in the States 25 years ago, whatever it is, the comedy clubs were at the top. The money was at the top. Those headliners were at the top. And when I mentioned I worked on a ship, they looked at me like I was dog do. But now the comedy clubs, they did. The comedy clubs.
Yeah, they did.
The comedy clubs are done. And now those acts all want to come on ships. And they don't realize that it's an art to work on a ship as a comic. And as a comedy magician, there's a line you can't cross. And you don't even know what the line is, but you have to figure it out while you're doing it.
The line
constantly changes.
and, you know, I always tell this story. It's a classic. Our friend Jerry Blaine, who played cocktail pianist for Oceana forever, was sitting in the back of the theater and waiting for the show, and a little Jewish couple came in, and the husband turned to the wife and said, I wonder what they're going to torture with tonight. And that is the audience. For, you know, it's because they didn't get in a car and drive to the theater, didn't pay for the ticket, didn't set aside a Saturday night. They went to dinner and now let's go see the entertainer and you better bring it. If not, they leave. So.
I remember when I first came to work American ships after working the British ships for so long. One bit of advice that my agent gave me was, you know, you'll know if they don't like you because they talk with their feet. In other words, they leave. You're not like the British who will sit there and be punished. They'll leave. You'll know. Okay.
Yeah.
So my first ever ship like that was for a Celebrity, and thankfully, God shone down on me and no one left. At least,
wow.
Look, no one I could see.
there's certain keys to success if you're a singer. One, be able to sing. Two, look right when you go out. And three, have patter and have that dialect, because that dialect, you know, anything sounds good with that English. It's kind of a combination English and Scottish accent.
Yeah.
You have to have those three. And if you don't, and believe me, all the years that we've worked on ships, we've seen plenty of people that don't. And you go, oh my God. And then the ones that do, you can tell the difference right away. So, especially when they get into some rambling story about how much they love their cat and it was hit by a train or something. And you're like, excuse me. Shut up.
Take some notes.
Yeah. Don't mention the cat. Okay. There we go.
You have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, when they have, you know, with singers, like, they have a message and they sing, they talk, but like I said, I've seen singers going, where is this story going?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, just sing already. I'm bored.
So you have seen my act.
You know, I was very honest when I met you. That I could watch it every night. I have three other friends that are that way. Dottie agrees. You know, we call them never miss acts that just never miss. They're never going to miss. You know, I don't care what, I don't care how bad the audience is. And, you know, they're never going to miss. It's just the music and the style and the, you know, like that.
I used to have that in comedy clubs.
Yeah, you did.
I did. Yeah, okay. I did.
You never missed. Yeah. You still don't miss, dude. No.
Yeah, cruise ships are tough sometimes. They're very humbling. They can be very humbling.
Well, Chris, you've never seen John work. John's originally from Long Island, New York. And yeah. What happens is if the audience doesn't seem to be interested, it's like somebody opened the lion and let him out of the cage.
Here's another one you won't like.
Women hold it out of their heart. And John has a great story about Holland America. He's, you know, there's things in John's act that he's a comedy magician, like the hat, John, the English magician that you're comparing.
Oh, Tommy Cooper.
Tommy Cooper, yeah. Yeah.
When I used to work on Princess, my act is nothing like Tommy Cooper's except that he's funny. And I mean, that's about the only, I mean, you know, I don't tell like long jokes like Tommy Cooper does. And a lot of stuff I do, it doesn't work, but it's, I don't know. But when I used to work on Princess, they used to bill me as America's Tommy Cooper. And the players would be packed, and the people really seemed to like, the English people love my act.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And they're pretty tough audience. English audience can be pretty tough.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Yeah,
they all come up to me. Anyone ever tell you you're like Tommy Cooper? And I'm going, yeah, great. I don't see it, but thanks. I know he's a hero, so it's a compliment, you know.
Oh, he is. Tommy's, you know, he's a household name even now. You mentioned the name Tommy Cooper. Tommy Cooper had to do very little other than walk onto a stage.
Yeah.
Or walk in front of a TV camera, and his whole persona was comedic. It just laughed at him, you know, that the inaudible little grunts he made, you know, and until you've seen the complete package, that doesn't make any sense. But when you do, it's hilarious.
Did you ever see that thing? My favorite Tommy Cooper bit is that one with the big nose. He just does this thing, it goes on forever. He goes, so I had a friend of mine, right? He had a nose, and it was a big nose. He has a nose. He takes out his rubber nose. He goes, nah, it was much bigger than that. It was like this. He pulls out this nose, it's like 3 feet long, and he's laughing so hard when he tells the joke. And he goes to the doctor. The doctor goes, yeah, I can fix that. I'll be 400 pounds. He goes, 400 pounds? I can't afford that. Well, a friend of mine's a vet. He can do it for 25 bucks. Right. So he goes to the friend, right? And he wakes up. He turns around. He wakes up and he goes, I'm shortening this joke. This joke goes on for 15 minutes. He turns around and he goes, so you look like this. And he has an elephant trunk on. Right. It's so stupid. My favorite line in the whole thing, he goes, so he goes home to his wife and he stands there and he poses and he looks at his wife and he goes, be honest. Which isn't even a punchline, but it's the funniest. I mean, that's the kind of guy he was, you know.
But John has a bit in his act. He's a comedy magician where he has a steel pipe and he puts a, well, you tell the story.
Yeah, it's a steel pipe, and I go, yeah, a solid steel pipe, and I go clang clang clang, and I cover it with a handkerchief. And I whip the handkerchief off, and the pipe goes flying across the stage and bangs. I'm standing there, and I do it on Holland America. And this guy, I hear this guy in the front row go to his wife, the poor thing is dropping everything.
They didn't get it.
It's like, there you go. Here you win this guy over.
So I don't know when we're going back. Obviously, you don't know. Nobody's booking anybody doing anything at the moment. We're just kind of on a holding pattern. But at least you got the hotel thing going for you. So that's,
do you know, I'm very, very blessed and I'm very grateful for it. And it's been a learning experience because obviously I've never even dreamed of moving into kind of a role like that where you're coordinating as opposed to just performing. So you're answerable to people. You know, the experience I'm gaining for me, the natural progression after I've kind of worn out my act would be I'd like to do something within the cruise industry, maybe move across and maybe try my hand at cruise directing and stuff, you know. I think, well, the experience I'm gaining now, maybe that's the reason I'm doing it. Well, I'm getting the experience now. Yeah, well, I can.
As long as your voice stays the way it is, just keep singing.
Well, I'll try to, you know.
That cruise director stuff is hard. Stand on a gangway, you got to be nice to people. Now, your new job, what's it like now? You have to deal with entertainers I forgot. What time was the gig?
You got the
directions. Can you send me a map? You're a grown man. Show up at the hotel.
Yeah, I'm slowly discovering how many friends you can lose. You know, it's list of friends is getting shorter because when you have to deal with people and you know, I have my own way. I'm quite flexible with everything, but everybody has that point where, you know, you snap. And I'll be honest, I've snapped a few times.
Yeah. Had you done much work on land before this, Chris?
Oh yeah, yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. My act was predominantly land based. Okay. You know, I was quite lucky to do some of the bigger chains of hotels, which I did a lot of. But also the culture, which is the working men's club in England, which I don't know how we would describe it in the United States of America.
I think it's called Hell
Strip Bar.
Hell, yeah, Hell. I toured those for many, many years, you know, and learned my craft with very difficult audiences and, sure. you know, get off and all of that. And
you haven't even sung yet.
Things haven't changed much at all. I've done all of that, but lucky enough to kind of do theater as well, which that was great grounding, ready to kind of move across into cruise work. Yeah. Very, very lucky. Just been a lucky guy.
I'm just glad to hear you working. That's, you know, most people we talk to, we're, you know, one of the good things about, if there's such a good thing, is we don't have problems finding people to come on and talk to us because they're home doing nothing.
Yeah.
They're not busy, but you're busy. That's great.
I'm heading up tonight to do a show tonight, a couple of spots tonight up at one of the hotels, which is great. You know, we've had a lot of cancellations over the last few weeks, but our managing director he's got such a strong will, and he's losing money hand over fist, but he wants to keep the hotels open, and he wants to beat the virus at its own game, and he's still open for business, and people are traveling from Scotland, from the south of England, traveling up to stay at his hotels, which is, you know, that's great for him. But it's great for people like me who can continue to work.
Now, how are you doing the audiences? Are they social distancing? Are they in masks? Or
yeah, we're social distancing. Yes, they're in masks. We have to keep them in family bubbles within the venues. So if you arrive together, you sit together, you move around the hotel together, you eat, drink, everything together, but you're not allowed to. Everything's table service. Everything's done table service now, which is unusual for England.
Yes,
you know. So we're adapting to that kind of culture. Yeah, you know?
And we'll let you go in a couple of seconds. We're over time as usual. So because a friend of mine is a big Broadway theater person, not performing, ghost every show, and Broadway shut down until next summer, and. She explained to me it has to do with the fact that the performers have to project, and because they're going to project, that will, you know, send the particles into the air. But, you know, if you only seat people in the theater from the 10th row back or the 8th row back, I don't see where the problem is, other than you're projecting on the other cast members. But if everybody is COVID free, that shouldn't be an issue. So how far away are you from? You don't have people right in front of you when you're saying.
No, I would say that they're at least 5-6 meters away, you know. But, you know, people are wearing masks. So even if there is anything kind of being projected, people are protecting themselves wearing masks, you know.
And no bands.
And I suppose there's that thing, they're taking the risk themselves as well. If they want to come on holiday, they've decided that, you know, they're not in that group, which is really, really, you know, high risk.
Yeah.
And they've decided to come and enjoy a break, you know, for and a you're few right about days.
I used to do a joke, not a joke. I used to say it in my act, the English would just, you know, stiff up her lip. You know, during World War II, when they're bombing London, they would say, do you have to do it during tea? Could you possibly come here earlier? You know?
Yeah, and yeah.
That's the way they are. It's like...
We're a stubborn breed. And, you know, no matter which politician you look at the moment in England, you know, they look a bit comedic. But the country as a whole, we are really, really trying our best, you know? To be sensible about it. But there's always the minority who are going to spoil it for everyone.
Sure.
There's always that minority. But, yeah. You know, hopefully we'll come through it in the next couple of months and life will return to some kind of, if you can call it normal. I don't think we ever will
it'll
know
be a
that
new
normal.
Normal. Whatever it is, it'll be a new normal. Well, and we'll adjust as we always do.
Yeah. I'm so happy that you came on just to
Thank
see
you for
how
having
you're
me.
Doing. Glad you're busy. And also to hear yesterday, Victor was on from Serbia and he told us what was happening in Portugal and Serbia. You know, you can read it in the newspaper, you can watch it on TV. The reporters tell you one thing, but when you're talking to people that are right there in Manchester, especially because I did read about, you know, the hotspots in England.
Yeah.
And to hear firsthand, you know, what's happening, I'm shocked or surprised that, and great that, you know, you're getting to perform because that's the one thing that's bothering everybody, that they can't get to do what they love to do. So
the only thing I have to worry about is if they decide to lock Manchester down, then I'll have to work remotely just from home. Obviously I won't be able to perform up there, but I'll have to coordinate everything from home because we'll be locked down in Manchester. We won't be allowed to travel up and into different districts if we're locked down here. So that's the only concern I have at the moment, really.
That you know, hopefully it won't happen. Can you stay up there?
Do you know, I could go and live up there for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. But I love my own bed.
Yeah.
And I love my garden. I love to be here. And I never thought I'd say that. You know, if you'd asked me the same question 20 years ago, I'd have said, yeah. Great. But now I'm a different guy, you know. I just want to be home, slippers and
I think we're in the same way, but I get every once in a while I wake up and think two shows every 10 days and go watch the guy sing and get drunk. Not a bad way to make a buck.
That's it. Dinner now and again, you know, this is good.
All right.
Sure.
Happy days, my friend. Let's hope we enjoy some more soon.
Yeah, all the best. And thanks for the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for the invitation.
And happy you're getting to sing. That's pretty cool. Sing and babysit entertainers. Oh boy, that's a lot of fun.
Happy days. Happy days.
All the best.
God bless you all. Thanks ever so much, guys.
See
you soon.
Stay safe.
Bye, my darlings. Bye bye.
I gotta find some music here. All right. We're out of here. Thank you, everybody. Don't forget to join us tomorrow. The great Jeff McBride will be here from Jeff McBride's Magic and Mystery School in Las Vegas. And somebody else will join us because Mike isn't. So that's okay. We can talk. One thing we do well is talk.
Who, you?
Have a great day, everybody.
Bye.
What did you say?
Bye.
Have a great day. We'll see everybody later on. Wait for the big finish. See, BJ normally talked over this. Is this called the post? Going for the post? No, the end.
Oh, well, they go ding, 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 ding.
That's that
big one. Last post.
Thank you.
See ya.